Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. You did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, and then you made one of the best decisions you're going to make all day. And that is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Now, the reason that's a good decision, as you heard Josh say, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So who is that? Well, that is you. That's your family. That's the people, your neighbors. Just about everybody you know is a member of the workforce in one way, shape, or form. And the workforce of tomorrow, well, that's your kids. That's your neighbor's kids. That's your nieces, your nephews. That's the people that if you're like me, you want to put them on the right track so that they can be successful and have a fulfilling career. We all want it for them. And guess what? I want that for you. I want to give you tips and career advice that's going to help you to be more effective and productive and help you to get into that job or that position that you've coveted for a long time. That's what I do, doggone it. I am a professional recruiter and I run staffing agencies and I have for over 20 years. So what that means is I am an expert. I'm a career expert. And guys, there's no shortage of people that want to dispense advice nowadays. You can always see, you know, now with the InstaFace and Facebook and all these things that are out there, people like to sit on the beach and tell you how to be awesome. They want to, you know, maybe they have 1 year or 2 years in their total career and they want to give you advice on how to be a successful salesperson, how to be a great leader. Well, take a look at their history. Do they have the stripes? Do they have the chops? Have they weathered the storms? You know, have they been through the ups and the downs in their career so they know what is right? Well, I'm an expert, and you have come to the right place by listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Doggone it. Each week, I have my recurring weekly contributors that I'm so proud of. And if you're new to this show, you don't know about it, so I'll tell you about it. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that each week, Coach Larry gives advice. It's a 5-minute segment, and Larry tells us, really teaches managers to become more effective leaders. And his topics are wide-ranging, but they will always relate to your specific problems and issues that you're having. I promise you that because every time I listen to Coach Larry, he's telling my story. And I know just from talking to so many others that he's telling your story as well. And when you listen to his segment, that's a great time to take out a pen and a paper if you're old school like me and jot down some notes. If you're new school like Josh, he's just out of that millennial age. He doesn't do anything with the pencil and paper. Josh takes, he's got his thumbs working on whatever device he has, but he takes his notes, right? That's the way it works. And that's a great segment for you to learn something and commit to doing something differently as a result of what you hear. That's the important part. The other weekly contributor I have is Boston Danny. And Boston Danny loves to give us an update on what's going on in the fair city of Boston. He tells us about his sports teams, his grandson Desmond, and I love hearing it. But the other thing Boston Danny does that I know you, all you listeners like, is he gives shout outs. So if you know somebody that's having a birthday, an anniversary, or maybe they accomplished something special, like they graduated high school or something, you know, you just send me a note and it's real easy to do. Just go to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me a note. And what I'll make sure is that I give that information to Danny, and Boston Danny will give you a shout out that's wicked pissa. And it's unique to Boston Danny. And it's great to hear that and acknowledge and recognize some people on the radio. Now, my favorite part of the show is each week I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people on my show. I've had some great, great guests, and my guests share with you some of their personal experiences. They tell us elements of their career journey but they also give you advice and career advice and little nuggets that are going to help you along your journey. And I'm going to tell you, this week is no different. I'm pleased as punch to tell you who my guest is this week, and I'm going to ask him the questions that if you were in this room, you would ask him too. I promise you that. What I'd like to do is make sure I get the bio correct. So I read a little bit, so I'm going to read for just a second so I can give you the bio and the background of my guest, whose name is Robert, or as I call him, Bob, and all his friends call him that too, Zinser. Now, Bob spent 10 years in the Jacksonville community, getting to know many people, and he engaged many small businesses and individual sales professionals to work with them to greatly improve their sales performance. This is one thing that Bob does, I'm going to tell you, does really, really well, is improves the performance of salespeople and sales teams. Get in the Game SE, now this is a company that Bob formed, worked with all types of businesses in many different markets. Individuals who were just getting started into sales to those that had 30 or more years experience. The sales world has changed drastically since Bob entered it in 1981. Now Bob is a client delivery specialist for Fortegra at its world headquarters right here in Jacksonville, Florida. His work has him delivering coaching to the internal associates in customer service excellence. He also works with clients in delivering Fortegra's products to consumers. Get in the Game SE established the Dugout Club so Bob could keep engaged with helping sales professionals improve their sales performance. Bob, I want to welcome you to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us.
It's my pleasure, Pete, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. It took me a while to get you in here, and we were scheduled to go, I guess it was about 8 weeks ago, but the studio's been closed down, so Bob is kind enough to come in here and talk. And if we sound like we're on a tin can and a string, it's because we're in our makeshift studio. We're social distancing, but I think you'll get the gist of everything. But first off, Bob, you know, why did you form Get In the Game SE?
Well, after having a very successful sales career, as you mentioned in the intro, I spent 10 years really just in Jacksonville getting to know a lot of people. And I saw a common theme, as you I'm sure know, and most people have seen, that small business is a large part of our economy. You have the big corporations, and God bless them, like Fortegra. But there's a lot of small businesses out there, and there's a need out there for them to help grow their business. And I saw that. Especially in the small business where the business owner is involved in the business. So I saw a need and I went out and developed a program based on the things that I learned in my sales career and used, and the rest is history.
You know what, Bob, as a small business owner, which I have been for a lot of years. Now, I work for a great big Fortune 50, publicly traded company, all that back in the day. I've done that. But as a small business owner, and I see small business folks, they have good ideas. And they know they have a product and they have key differentiators associated with that product. But what I've seen too often is they get eager to just dispense information. It's almost like they go out and they give an information dump on their clients. I've seen it so often. And with some minor tweaks, they could be so much more effective and productive. Is that what you've seen too?
It's exactly right. Exactly right. But there's a more common core issue with the small business owners.
Yeah. What is that? Let's get right into it. What have you found with the small business owners?
Well, those of you that are small business owners can appreciate this, but those of you that know small business owners have probably realized this in true life. The small business owner is, in most cases, doing everything. They're the first one in the office in the morning to turn the lights on and to make the first pot of coffee. And they're probably the last one to leave. And they're doing a lot of things during the day, whether it's a product or service, they're keeping their tabs on that. They're managing employees. They're running the business, but they don't, in most cases, and again, this is an overgeneralization, in most cases, they've not really sold anything. Like you said, they have an idea and they went with that idea and they were successful to get the business started. But then where do they go from here to take it to the next level? And that's where I come in to work with them on their product or service, but to build the right sales focus and the attention to the sales revenue producing segment of their business where they don't really have a lot of time to do it, and they're not quite educated or experienced enough to know how to deal with it.
Right. And you know what? I've seen a lot of businesses fail. I have. I mean, we've all seen it. You know, they say a lot of small businesses, something like 70-80% may fail. All the good intentions. They know their product inside and out. You know, but there isn't a developed sales and performance plan that's metrics driven, that's focused on the client, getting the message out properly. And you can't wing it. You know, it's funny when you go to the doctor and you let's say you hurt your wrist, you break it perhaps, and you go to the doctor and the doctor has been to school, folks. The doctor's going to know to take an X-ray. He's going to know how to read the X-ray. He's going to know what to recommend as a cure. Maybe it's a cast or a splint or what have you. But it's an educated approach to solving an issue. And I would argue, and I think that you'd argue right along with me, that sales is, you know, it's you can't just think it's inherently gifted upon you. It is something that you need proper training for. Agree.
And training, but also you have to have a plan. And you have to, you know, approach your market very specifically and not just wing it, as you mentioned. I actually experienced a lot of people that would sit in the car before they go in to make that sales call, and they'd say to themselves, what am I going to talk about when I go in there? And that's just, I don't think that's a good approach. You have to have a very specific idea, approach, agenda, if you will, on each and every sales call.
Oh, yeah. And the greatest thing now, when I want to really dig in, because you know, in your bio, I mentioned that, you know, sales has changed drastically since 1981 when you first jumped in. But now there's no excuse to not do some pre-call due diligence. And in the car right before you get in is way too late. But let's talk about some of the things, the changes that you've seen since 1981.
Oh, lots of changes, and they're very basic. I tell people this, and I've mentioned this many times. Again, 1981, think about this. And I know most of your listeners probably were not born in 1981, so they don't know what they were missing. But I experienced it firsthand in my very first official sales job in 1981. When you called a company on the telephone, and that was the only way to communicate with them, you actually talked to a person. There was no voicemail, there was no email, there was no internet. In fact, back then, there were barely, computers were very rare. Fax machines that used to, that was the new technology of that time period. And I can remember where I was sitting the first time I saw a fax come through. It took 15 minutes to come through, line by line, but it was technology. But so things have changed drastically. When I say that, in today's environment, good and bad, things have changed drastically. The good is you've got information at your fingertips to help you prepare for that sales call.
Amen.
Do the research on the company that you're about to call on or the person you're about to call on. They're on social media in most cases. LinkedIn is a great resource for that. But look up on the company, see what they're experiencing. That gives you some framework to say, I've done my homework, Mr. Prospect, and I'm here to talk to how I might be able to help your organization. Don't know that yet, but let's have a conversation about it. But that's easy. Back in the 80s, I'd have to go to the library and look up newspaper articles and be lucky enough to find something on that company. Much easier today. No excuse not to be totally prepared.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, some of the things that I talk about with my sales force, new and old, because, you know, even if you've been doing this for 20 years, I think what happens is if you just think, I've been doing this for so long, I'm going to go out there and you know, I know what to say. I know what to do. Do you really? What do you know about the company? What do you know about the person? You know, the internet is your friend. Prior to a sales call, you jump out, you look up the company. What awards have they won recently? What contracts of the award have they won? What, you know, look at the information, look at the person you're sitting across. Perhaps there's some commonalities that are conversation starters in the sales conversation. But, you know, going out, visiting with a client to gain a sale or to learn more about them in order to advance the sales process, it's not one size fits all. I've been on sales calls, Bob. I don't know if you've seen it like this in your career, perhaps as a sales manager and training other salespeople, where they bring their brochure, right? And they go out to the client, and it's almost like one size fits all. They have their mug or their pen that they're also going to give to, you know, their goal is to inform the client. Mr. Client, here, let's go right through the brochure. I'm going to tell you all the features and benefits, whether they apply to you specifically or not. I'm going to go through this canned presentation. At the end of it, I'm going to give you my little knickknack here. Here's a mug or a spinner or some, let's just call it crap. That's you. But I'm not advancing the ball at all. Have you seen this?
I have seen. In fact, I remember back in the day, way back early in my career, I had a client share this with me, that a gentleman came in with his briefcase, you know. And again, what's a briefcase? That's another old style selling thing. But those briefcases were loaded with all kinds of stuff. And the gentleman just met this person for the first time. And towards the end of the sales call, he said, let me provide you a proposal. And he reached into his briefcase and pulled out a proposal. Now, do you think that proposal was specific to what that customer, that prospect needed? No, but that's the way it was done. Brochures, if you were basically a talking brochure, why do you have to sit here and take up my time? Just send me the brochure. I can read it. So it has changed drastically. And that's not the way to go about it. And I was very successful in my career because I used some of the things that we're going to talk about and what you need to pay attention to as a sales professional and the way you have to approach some things.
Right. I see this a lot. Now, what are some of the other, like, the common reasons why salespeople struggle in engaging prospects and moving the sale to a close?
First of all, again, the sale could take place face-to-face, or in most cases, you got to get an appointment over the phone. Again, if the people don't recognize your phone number, they're probably not going to answer it. So you're going to leave a voicemail. That voicemail, that every communication with your prospect has to have what I call a compelling message. And it answers the question, why should I take your phone call? Why should I schedule an hour to meet with you? Why should I continue speaking with you in general versus just telling me about your company? That doesn't really excite me. The fact that your company's been in business for 35 years is nice and it says something, but that's not a compelling reason for you to answer my phone call or to meet with me. And I see people do it all the time.
Right. And you know, I'll hear salespeople like, you know what, Bob, I'd love to come out and meet with you and put a face to the name. And I'm thinking to myself, what value is that in it for Bob to put a face to my name and all that? He doesn't care what I look like. Bob, I'd love to come out and learn more about you and your organization, what your role is, and learn if you have any upcoming needs that I might be in a position to help you. You know, do you have, let's say, 30 minutes where we can have that conversation? But the value add is, Bob, I want to be able to help you. I want to be able to be in a position to help you. And the only way I can do that is if I learn more about you and your role and your organization. And there's some value in that versus let me come out there, throw a bunch of crap against the wall and hope something sticks.
Yep.
And I see it. Bob, I know you co-authored a book. It's called Out of Time. Why did you write that?
Actually, true story. I never envisioned myself ever being able to write a book. Now, I can write, but that's one piece of it. That was probably the easiest piece. How do you get it published? How do you get it edited? Those types of things. But I co-authored it with a business partner of mine at the time, and he was an expert in marketing, and I was an expert in sales. And he approached me and said, did you ever consider writing a book? And I said, no, but I'll entertain just about anything. So we sat down, and I basically took a lot of the things, again, tried and true results that I got in my sales career. And it's a book that I think the whole approach was, and the reason for the title is Out of Time. We're always out of time. We don't have time to do this, especially the small business owner, even the big corporate executive. But we're saying you need to take time to plan your marketing plan, your approach, to write a marketing plan. Don't just wing it and take the person that comes through the door that says, I can market your company. You have to write a plan. On the sales side, you got to have a plan as well. Do you have a sales plan? Do you have a plan when you make calls on prospects? Very, very specific. So the whole premise of it was we're always seem to be out of time, but it's so important to make the time. And then this book is written in alternating chapters, one chapter on marketing, one on sales. And it's a how-to book. You can pick up this book, pick a chapter on a particular subject, like compelling messages, like nurturing prospects. What's the right way to go about it? Do you have a sales process for your organization and for your products or services? It's different for everybody, but it's a book you can pick up the chapters and read a chapter and basically take away from that and implement it right away.
Bob, you know, I commend you. You're in a space where, you know, your career, you've spent so much time helping others. I mean, you're dedicated to improving the performance of others. I think that's very, very commendable. When your head hits the pillow, you should sleep well at night. Well, what's one message that you would like to resonate with people that they get out of this show?
I think just take some of these thoughts and some things that we've shared and talked about here and implement them. Just try one. Whether it's developing some compelling messages. Again, what's unique about your organization? And just write some bullet points. But you can pull from those when you're trying to approach people and you're trying to engage people, especially today. We've been apart from one another for a while, so we need to re-engage. And there's going to be a lot of re-engagement. It's going to be like a shark feeding frenzy here in the not too distant future. So you better be better than the other guy and not just get in line and have the same approach. So take some of these things, developing compelling messages, prospect nurturing techniques, again, part of what's in the book, but there's a lot of information, and just take one of those and get real good at that, and then move on to another one. And before you know it, you'll start to see some results in your organization, in your sales appointments and your sales.
Very good. And Bob, one final question, and this is my time machine question that I like to ask all my guests. Bob, if there was a way you could go, back in time and meet with young Bob, you know, maybe 19, 20 years old, put your hand right on his shoulder and say, Bob, let me give you this advice. What would you give your younger self?
It would be to mentor with someone. Find someone that you respect, that you may work with, that's doing great things, and connect with them. And I kind of fell into it. I had a manager. He was my manager. I didn't have any choice. We made sales calls together, but he worked with me and developed a lot of these things that we are working on today. And I wish I would have done it sooner. But I would say mentor with someone and basically get under their wing and learn as much as you can from those people that are doing great things around you, whether it's in your business or just great people in general.
Wonderful advice. Bob, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
It's been my pleasure, Pete. Thank you so much. And all the success to all of you out there in the Jacksonville and the radio market.
All right, Bob, have a great rest of your Sunday morning. Bob Zinser, I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you haven't read Out of Time, you can get that book anywhere. Just Google it up. That is great advice. I've seen so many people that don't follow the basics in sales. They don't have a plan. And when you don't have a plan, it's very difficult to be successful by accident. It is. That music tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Stay with us and join us for the second half. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Wow, if you missed the first part of this show, shame on you. What's the matter with you? Set your alarms. Get up a little bit earlier because it is that important. My guest today, who you missed, was Bob Zinser. But guess what? Okay, Bob wrote a book called Out of Time. He has been in sales and performance training and coaching for probably 25 plus years. He's sharp as a tack. The information that he shared was phenomenal. But, you know, if you missed it, it's okay. because you can always go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You click on radio show, then you click on episodes, and you can listen to each and every show in its entirety, including this one. Now, we won't post this for a couple of days, probably be Tuesday or Wednesday before the marketing folks get it posted to the website, but this is one that you'll want to listen to, and I urge you to also get a copy of Bob's book, Out of Time. The one thing I like about this book is it's segmented. So if there's a particular thing that, maybe you notice a deficiency in your sales game, closing, pipelining, leaving effective messages, etc., each chapter is broken out. So you don't even have to read it chronologically or read the whole thing. You can just pick and choose what applies to you. If you're a sales manager, I would say get this, read a chapter, train on it, then read the next chapter, train your team on that as well. And link in with Robert, as I call him, Bob, his friends call him Bob, Robert Zinsser, and it's Zinsser. He's over at Fortegra. He works at Fortegra now. Again, dedicated to improving performance internally and externally. That's what Bob does. So reach out to him. Get on LinkedIn, Robert Zinsser. Okay. So this next part of my show is one of my favorite parts, and this is where we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry has spent his career in improving the performance of others. Larry every week gives us a 5-minute segment that helps managers to become more effective leaders. And he tells stories, a lot of them personal stories within his career. And then he shares a tip or some information that's going to help you to be more effective and productive. But the great thing about Larry is when he paints his picture with words, he tells my story every week. And other listeners have told me, how does this guy know how to talk about exactly with what exactly I'm dealing with at this point in time? Now, I want you to listen to this segment and tell me, yes or no, is this something that you are dealing with or have dealt with in the recent past, or it's coming up and you will have to deal with this? With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
Early in my career, I was working for a large financial services company. I was working in the training department teaching new hires. One day after I got paid, it was time to pay the bills. You know, housing, electricity, car, telephone, no cell phone in those days, student loans. And after doing all that, I took a look at what we had left. And we only had $6 to last us for 2 weeks. No joke. Lucky for us, Burger King was having Dollar Whopper specials, so at least a night out was still in the picture. It was time to ask for a promotion. Eventually, I walked into my boss's office and I pleaded my case. I was the youngest and least experienced one on the team. But it wasn't like I had just started. I had been there at least a year. So he asked me, "How old are you, Larry?" I was 26 at the time. Then he asked me, "How much are you making?" Well, essentially, I was making $13 an hour, back in the day, with good benefits. Then he started to calculate and share with me that, well, when he was my age, he certainly wasn't making that much money, so why should I expect to? Well, first of all, because it wasn't 1970, and second of all, what the heck are you comparing yourself to me for? That just doesn't make sense. What did I do? Well, I finished my master's, and then I got a job at another financial services company making over 30% more. But that was lucky. It worked out for me. But that's not always the case. So how do you ask for a promotion or for a raise? Well, the first thing that is critical is knowing your manager's philosophy about promotions, raises, salaries, and bonuses. I worked for one leader whose goal was to pay people as much as possible. Sounds good, right? We regularly talked about compensation, bonuses, and opportunities within the team and outside the team. Another leader I worked for said, "Well, you have to be here 2 years before we even consider you for a promotion." And there were many leaders who didn't even think about promoting their people. They wanted their people to work for them and stay as long as possible. So tip number one is to know who you work for. Know their track record on promotions and bonuses. If you are at a point in your life where you're putting a lot into your career, having the right boss is a must. Are people around you getting promoted? Are other people receiving rewards and recognition and you're not? Are you having conversations about your career with your boss? If you answer no, then I would strongly consider going somewhere else fast. Sorry, I know that's harsh. Tip number two is to look out beyond your manager. Have some awareness about what is going on at the company and the industry. Is the industry growing? Is the company growing? What are average salaries for your role? What is the typical career path and movement for your role? In 2008, after the financial meltdown, I was happy to have a job. Our stock price went from $100 a share to $13, and that was not the right time to ask for a raise. So timing is important. But tip number three is that you should put it out there. Let your boss know that you are someone who wants to move ahead and that as opportunities come up, you want to be considered. Tell them that you're open to feedback. Remind them of all the things that you can do and your past experiences. You know, managers typically don't like to have these conversations, so we need to approach them and remind them of our skills. By letting them know that you are open to getting promoted or trying something new that will lead to a promotion, you are giving them the opportunity to respond in kind. This is much better than, hey, promote me now. Why am I not getting promoted? That's it. I quit. Again, this way, you have made it clear that you want more challenges. Okay, so let's think about this. Let's imagine it's the right time. You've done your homework and the company is doing fine. You know what the logical next role or title would be for you. And over time, you've made it clear that you want a promotion and you've gotten positive feedback. You also know what it takes to work at the next level, and all indications are that you're doing great work. What do you do? First, I think it's important to give your boss a heads up that you want to schedule a conversation about a promotion. This will help them not be caught off guard, and the meeting will be more effective. Second, you may want to choose an alternate venue than the boss's office. That's where they have power. Go for lunch. Go to a break room or a lounge where you may have some privacy. People tend to be more honest and disarmed when they are out of their normal work situations. Third, start with a strong statement about why you feel you are ready. Share the facts. Share your excitement and your commitment to the company. This should be a conversation starter and not a speech. Paint the picture to them about where you want to go and what you have done to deserve it. People who make the decision easy for their boss tend to have the most success. You need to build the case for them to be able to present it to their superiors. Finally, be open to feedback. There may be something you don't know about your performance and getting to the next level. Being defensive and getting angry or shutting down will work against you. So if you don't get promoted this time, ask when you should revisit this conversation and what you need to do to get to the next level and work on your skills. And when it's time, have that conversation again.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. When is the right time to ask for a promotion? I mean, come on. Like I said, every week when Larry offers his topic, it's something that we're all wrestling with, or we're about to wrestle with, or we have wrestled with it. And why not become better educated? And that's why Larry, gosh, I'm so proud to have him as a weekly contributor on the show, dispensing information that is right on target to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Thank you, Coach Larry. And I highly recommend that you engage Coach Larry. Go to his website, Mendoza and O'Brien. You'll be the better for it. All right. This next part is what happens? We got somebody opening the door to the Ascendo Resources studio on a Sunday morning. Who is it? It's none other than the world famous Angie Langlois, my wife and business partner. Angie, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
What's up, Jacksonville? Woo! Here I am.
You know what's funny is your commercials that used to air. Angie always say, what's up, Jacksonville? Angie here with Angie Staffing. And Angie was the president of Angie Staffing. That was a business venture that she and I had. And, you know, why don't you tell the story? Like, just, you know, what's happened with Angie Staffing, and bring everybody current.
So basically the short of it is I started Angie Staffing, rocked out the house.
Woohoo!
And within a few months, we were gobbled up by Ascendo Resources. And now we are in a very shiny, pretty, awesome office and I have a veteran recruiting team, and we are going to take down all of our competition in Jacksonville. Do you hear me?
Angie's bringing back the hustle. That's one thing about Angie. But Angie, what types of people, yeah, look, you and I have been business partners for a long time, and we place professionals in this. What types of folks do you place? Without giving away clients and all that other sensitive information, what do you do?
All right, listen, if you are a dynamic risk analyst that has a finance degree, an MBA, call me right now. I can get you a job at an awesome company. But outside of that, anything accounting, finance, technology, administrative, legal is a big hot one for us now. And actually medical. We have a healthcare division that we can help with anything on the medical side, clinical. But if you're awesome, call me.
Well, what's your number?
It's 904-479-9610.
479-9610. What do you personally like most about staffing and recruiting?
You know what? I like to be number one, and I like to get people from an opportunity where they might not be happy and put them in the perfect job for them and make their life better. I mean, that's pretty much in a nutshell.
I know you personally, and I know you're a wonderful, wonderful person, and you feel good helping people. And you know what? This is a business where, you know, the more people you help, the more clients you find resources for, whether it's temp or perm, the more people you help, the bigger our business grows. And we want to build another big business right here in Jacksonville. Also, what types of people, when you hire internally, do you look for?
All right. So internally, if you have drive, motivation, you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to make a lot of money, you want to have fun every day and use words like gobble up, call me. I have a spot for you.
All right, Angie, you hit us with gobble twice, okay? What's the significance of gobble?
So we make it fun in our office. Every single day we have an individual word that has to be used several times throughout the day. And it just so happens that gobbled is one of them. And today is flabbergasted. So I went ahead and got that in, if everybody's listening. So we make it fun here.
Right. Every day, there's no sign above the door that says there will be no happiness. Right. We're busy. I mean, we're high stepping. And I always say we move at a pace that others only talk about, or they can't sustain it. You know, we move at a fast pace, but we have fun. You know, we move so fast because the more clients, again, and more candidates that we talk to and help, the bigger the business goes and it flourishes. And you've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 20 years. And if you're a client on the phone right now and you're not happy with the service that you're getting, call me right now and I will change your life.
That's it. Angie and I are professional recruiters and we change lives one phone call at a time. Angie, give your number out one more time.
904-479-9610.
904-479-9610. Okay, perfect.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble to you, Angie. Thank you for being on the show. This next part of the show is one of my favorite parts. And this is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. And remember, if you have a birthday, an anniversary, or somebody accomplished something special and you want to give a shout out to them and have Boston Danny give it to them on the radio like only Boston Danny can, just drop me a line. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'll make sure I put it in the hands of the Boston man, Boston Danny himself. And with no further ado, let's get this week's Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here, giving you the Northern update. Well, you know, after a pretty chilly Memorial Day, we jumped right into the hot and muggies up here. Temperature soared up right up into the 80s with some high humidity, and thank goodness it's cooled down a little bit, but for the past week when we're getting back to work, it really took off a little bit. So we're enjoying it. You know, the beaches opened up on Tuesday too, so people were able to get a little relief that way. But other things are opening up. Everything's getting right on schedule for us. Not only the construction, but the restaurants aren't opening for dine-in yet, but you know, all the takeout's been pretty busy. And you know, we're getting back to normal up here, folks. Hopefully this'll what passes as the new normal, but You know, one thing I'm never going to get used to, I mean, you know, we always washed the fruits and vegetables as we'd get them in the house, but, you know, now coming home from the grocery store, we're even washing the cereal boxes, so, you know, that's getting a little bit used to, but you got to be safe, you got to stay healthy so that we can get everything that we want done, which is, you know, get back to what passes for normal. But as long as everyone, you know, like I said before, as long as everyone be careful and be safe and take care of everybody, we'll get through all this together. But that washing the boxes coming out of the grocery store, that's a good one on me. But another one that we got, you know, I'm a big movie buff. I love going to the movie theater. I've been doing it since I was a kid. When I was in high school, you know, Friday nights I had a shift. I'd work every night. I'd bang out my homework, and I worked in a movie theater all over town, Boston. Anybody from Boston will remember the Sack Chain, the Cherie, the 57, the Music Hall, all the ones up and down Boylston Street. I worked them all. It was fun. It was a good way to do it. But we got the drive-in movie theaters open now. And, you know, we still got a few that have been kicking around since the 50s. There's the Wellfleet one down on the Cape. We still got the one in the biggest little town of Mendon, and the Milford Drive-In in New Hampshire. And, you know, of course, in my neck of the woods, we had the Neponset Drive-In. That was a twin. Braintree had a twin. They're gone. But, you know, the Milford and, you know, the ones I just mentioned, the big little town of Mendon and the one in Wellfleet. And, Peter, you might remember the Starlight in Reading. That's gone, but that was a good one. So the drive-in movie theaters are making a comeback, which is something good for everybody. But, you know, we're getting back, folks. We find our little things to do, but we still always have our shout-outs. So, you know, get them into me, and I'll sing them out the air for you. So here's a few I want to wish a wicked pizza birthday to. We got Amy Bayer, Captain Buddy Pelzar, Vinny Buscanero. Hey, Vinny Boombats, happy birthday. Have a nice day. And Cammy Lane, you guys have your birthday. And a special shout-out goes to the G-Man, Grady Nolan. You guys all enjoy your day. You know what I say. Get it in you, because it's your day. If no one else does it for you, do it for yourself. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, stay safe. Remember our first responders, all our military retirees in active duty. And, you know, don't forget our nurses there, too. Peter, talk to you next week. See you, folks.
All right, another gem from Boston Danny. And, you know, Boston Danny gave a special shout-out to G-Man Grady. I have none other than the G-Man's dad right here, Tom Nolan. Tom, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Pete, what's up?
So your son has a birthday. Tell me a little bit about your son.
So Grady Thomas Nolan, he'll be 12 years old.
GT?
Yep. And great kid. I mean, loves sports and fishing. He's huge into fishing. So we're planning a trip, take him on a little charter fishing trip, which we love, right? Because you don't have to worry about getting the bait, and you just show up, and you got the guys to put you right on the fish. So
I'm so glad you said it.
He's stoked, man. He's ready to roll.
We all live in Isle of Palms, and we all fish. You know, not all the time. I'm no professional fisherman. Every once in a while, I'll go fishing for redfish. Other times, you know, if I go offshore. But there's a lot of work associated with fishing.
Tell me about it.
You got to bait. You got to gas up the boat. Sometimes you got to catch the bait to catch the fish and everything. But what are you and Grady going out to catch?
So we're actually going to be going over to the Tampa Bay Clearwater area. Visit some family over there. So we're hoping to get on
snook.
Maybe some tarpon. I mean, that'd be ideal. So that's what we're looking at is you know, maybe getting on some tarpon. He would love it. It'd be a dream trip for him.
You know, the greatest thing about when you catch a tarpon, and you just use yarn in a rusty hook.
Pretty much like Old Man in the Sea. Yeah, that's usually what I do.
A drop line. Because that's really, really good. But you charter the boat. Is it it's kind of inshore. You're not going way out, right?
No, we may, because over on the Gulf Coast, it's not as crazy as it is here on the Atlantic. So, I mean, we could go maybe 5-10 miles out, maybe do a little bit of bottom fishing. But I think we're really going to probably go inshore, what we're looking at. So.
You're going to see some family out that way? Because I know you got family,
grandma and grandpa over there. You know, we're going to make sure we stay door social distancing and all that. But no, it'd be good to see them. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, if you guys don't know it, Tom's part of our team at Ascendo. Tom and I are partners, and Angie, you heard from her not too long ago, Alexis, and we're out here. And Tom, you know, we were talking earlier, some of the things we're seeing are some signs of recovery right now, because it's been kind of stagnant, especially if you're in the recruiting and staffing industry. It's been a lot of casualties. I've seen a lot of companies, either staffing agencies close their doors or drastically reduce their internal staff. It's you know, symptomatic of what's going on. You know, we're growing here. And what types of people do you like working with in this industry? And what types of people are most successful as a recruiter or staffing, a staffing professional?
You know, there's several things that probably make a person in the staffing industry most successful. And, you know, a lot of it is being able to find the right people. And by doing that, you have to ask a lot of questions, right? Mm. So you're investigating and really kind of digging into folks and what they do. But at the same time, you're also doing that with your clients, right? To find that perfect match. So, you know, there's a lot of people get out like yourself, Pete, talk a whole lot, but you also got to listen a whole lot, right? Yeah. You got to be able to understand what those needs are, what those gaps and challenges that people are looking for, whether it's with their career or with whom they're trying to hire. So, you know, I try to be a good listener as much as possible and really dive into what people are looking to either do professionally or what a company is looking to achieve when they hire that next rock star that we find them.
I'm glad you said it. It's that whole principle of two ears and one mouth, right?
Exactly.
So you do twice the listening and half the talking and half the speaking in that conversation.
Which is hard to do because I love to hear myself talk.
Right.
I'm just like you, buddy.
And you know what? It's not like, you know, when I talk to my clients and engage them and they just say, oh, I'll send you a job description. You know, it's not the things that you want are beyond the job description. You know, I want to know the intangibles. I want to see your corporate culture. I want to learn more about it. If you've had this position open and you've tried to fill it, what weren't you seeing in the other candidates that you really, really need to see? And all those things aren't on the job description that they hand you. You know, that's why I like going out and meeting with my clients and seeing the facilities and being able to describe that even when I look at potential candidates. All right, so getting back to Grady, he's a football player, is that right?
Yep, he's been playing tackle football for the last couple of years with JDL, which is the Jacksonville Developmental League here in town. It's an awesome program. That, and then also lacrosse. He's been picked up lacrosse a couple of years ago. Loves it. It's a sport I have no idea what's going on out there. Never played as a kid. And so I'm learning as I go all the different rules. So it's great.
Well, let's give him a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Grady.
Happy birthday, G-Man.
All right, Tom. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks,
guys. I want to thank my guest, Robert Bob Zinser. And you have to get a copy of his book, Out of Time. You'll be the better for it. It's performance improvement for salespeople, and it's a phenomenal book. I want to thank Angie Langlois, my business partner. I want to thank Tom Nolan, my business partner, for coming by and spending their time with me and with you on a Sunday morning. You've just listened to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.